Okay, page 812, bottom of the page. Okay, last time we learned about the mitzvah of challah, separating challah, you know, the dough separate the dough from the dough, whatever. Okay, now the Torah speaks about an aveda that if there was a public sin, okay, that means Beis Din made a ruling about something, they made a mistake, and people did based on what the Beis Din said, but as you'll see, it's only speaking about idol worshipping. Okay? So the Torah says like this, V'chi sishgu, if the people will make a shaygig, an accidental sin, V'leisasu eiz kol ha-mitzvah sa'ela, and you won't do all these commandments, Asher dibur Hashem al Moshe, that Hashem spoke to Moshe. So simply it means, to take the pasuk literally means, if the Jews will not keep any of the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that's not what it means. It says, Aveda Zara. The Gemara learns out from various different psukim, and Rashi brings it down over here, that the Torah is referring to a sin which is equal to all sins. Which is a sin equal to all sins? Idol worshipping. Therefore, when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibros, the first two, I am God, you God, you should not have any other gods, that we heard straight from Hashem himself. Because that's the whole basis of everything. So it says, Rashi says, it means that Aveda Zara, if a person sinned a sin which is equal to all sins, which is, they did Aveda Zara, Eitz kol asher tziva Hashem aleichem biyad Moshe, everything Hashem commanded Moshe. The minayim asher tziva Hashem v'holo, from the day Hashem commanded him and onward, the dereisechem for all generations. So he says like this, this is just like an introduction. If the people will do a sin, which Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu for all generations, and the Jews accidentally did the sin, so he says, what type of sin are we talking about? So now the Torah is explaining it. If it is because of the eyes of the assembly, meaning the eyes of the community, it was done accidentally, meaning like this. Beis Din, the Chachomim, are called the eyes of the community. We find this many times in Chumash. They are called Einei Ha'eda. They're the eyes of the community. Simply means that the heads of the community, it says in the commentaries, why are the leaders called the eyes of the community? Because they see what needs to be done. They see what's going on upstairs and downstairs. They have different outlook, different perspective to everything. So he says, this was from the eyes of the community, meaning the eyes of the Beis Din. Nesesol l'shgoga, it was done accidentally. And as the Gemara learns out, by the way, just they didn't say that there's no law of idol worshipping. I mean, that even if they said such a thing, this law wouldn't apply. They made a mistake in one of the laws of idol worshipping. For instance, let's say they said, pouring wine to an idol is not called idol worshipping. Okay, that's what they said. And the community did based on what they said. Listen, the big Beis Din said that you can pour wine to an idol, you know, it's not called idol worshipping. Now 8:14. Now we're on the top of 8:14. But if they didn't say, they didn't uproot the whole thing. The whole mitzvah. They didn't say there's no sin of idol worshipping. They said there is a sin of idol worshipping, but this particular detail is allowed. And the people did it based on what they told them, so it's an accidental thing. So then, what's the forgiveness for this? The entire assembly has to prepare par ben bakar echad la'ila, a bull, a young bull, elevation offering, the reach nicheich l'Hashem for a good smell for Hashem, uminchase v'niskei, and the flower offering, and the libation, the pouring of the wine, k'mishpat, like the law it normally is, by all the libations, osir izim echad l'chatus, and one goat for a sin offering.
This is not karet?
No, because he did it accidentally. We're going to see in the next paragraph, the same din repeats itself if an individual did it intentional. So then the punishment is kares. Okay? But here the Torah says like this. Like we said, the Beis Din made a mistake. People followed the ruling of the Beis Din. So you need to bring this korban. You need to bring this sacrifice to Hashem. There'll be soon more women will be coming very soon. So they'll have to bring this korban. And in fact, even though it doesn't, but the Gemara says, and Me'amleis brings it down, that every tribe brings this bull and this goat. The bull is for the korban ola, the burnt offering, and the goat is for a chatas, for a sin offering.
Why two?
Okay, why two, we'll soon see. Not only that, it's very interesting, we're going to learn another pasuk, and we're going to discuss this. This is a different order than basically all the other korbanos. The chiper ha-kohen, and the kohen will atone, al kol adaz b'nei Yisrael, for the entire Jewish nation, v'nisach lahem, they'll be forgiven, ki shgogehi, because he did it accidental. It was an accidental crime. V'heim evios korbona mishal Hashem, and they're bringing their sacrifice as a fire offering to Hashem, v'chatosim, and their sin offering, lifnei Hashem al shigogosim, before Hashem, for their accidental sin. So in other words, it's like this. The Mephoshim over here discussed this a little bit, generally speaking. Sanhedrin made a mistake, okay? And because of that, the people listened to the Beis Din. Now, therefore, what do they need to bring? Every tribe, because the whole community sinned, every tribe needs to bring one bull as a korban ola, the burnt offering, and one goat as a sin offering. Now, the Mephoshim point out, it's interesting, the Klal Yoker discusses this at great length. And he says that the truth is, this is an opposite order of what it's normally done. Okay, he says like this. Here. First of all, there's another interesting thing. If you look in the Chumash, at the last word of Pasuk Chofei, the word Lechatos normally would have an Aleph. It would be Ches Tes Aleph Saf. Here it's missing. Here in the Torah it's without an Aleph. The Aleph is missing.
Yeah.
Okay? So like, what does all this mean? And another thing also, every time a person brought first the sin offering and then the burnt offering. Here the Torah says the order is first the burnt offering and then the sin offering. When a person normally sinned, he brought a chatos and an oilo, a sin offering and a burnt offering. Here the Torah reverses the order. Here you have to bring the burnt offering first and then the sin offering. Why is it? And why is the Aleph missing of the word Chatos? Why is this Chatos different than all the other sin offerings? So he says like this. When a person normally does a sin, there's two parts to every sin, believe it or not. There's the thought of sinning. I mean, you got a plan. You got a plan ahead to sin. And then you have the action of the sin. Now, for the thought is the Ola, the burnt offering. And the sin offering is for the action. Okay? Now, normally, thought comes before action. Yet, you bring the action korban, the chatos, before the ola. Why? Because this world, with one exception that we'll soon see, God doesn't punish for thought. If somebody thinks to desecrate Shabbos, they think to kill somebody, they think they're going to commit adultery, they think they're going to not put on tefillin, they think, you know, it's a negative thought, but you're not punished for it. We're punished for the action. So therefore, by a normal sin, Hashem says you need to bring two sacrifices. One for the action, the chatos, and one for the thought. Now, even though the thought comes first, but you're not punished for the thought. You're only punished for the action.
Why would do korban? Don't punish. Why should?
Because it's still a blemish. I'll explain to you why. It's even worse a little bit. And therefore, you need first to bring the sin offering for the action, because that's what you're punished for. And then Hashem says, you also need to bring a burnt offering because of your evil thoughts. By idol worshipping, it says in the Torah, we learn out from Psukim, that a Jew is punished even for thought. If a Jew thinks to worship idols, God punishes him.
In this world?
The court can't, because they don't know what you're thinking. Right? But Hashem punishes you, you get karis. In this world, the person would be punished for thinking of worshipping idols. And the Gemara learns it off from various different psukim that we see in Tanakh and in Chumash. There's a lot of psukim that allude to the fact that even thought, so therefore he says like this. Here we're talking about Aveda Zara. So therefore here you have to bring first the Ola, which is for the thought, and then the Chatos, which is for the sin. By all other sins, you're not punished for the thought. So therefore, you need to bring first the chatos, which you punished for the action of the sin. And then Hashem says, you also blemished the thought, so for that you're also going to be punished. Not punished, but you need forgiveness. You need forgiveness for the thought. And he says, that's why the word chatos is without an aleph. Because idol worshipping is going against Hashem, aleph. When a person sins, he's losing the Aleph, the one Hashem. So if he's losing the one Hashem, over here the Torah says the word Chatos without an Aleph to show that you're going really against Hashem. Now I want to explain this a little bit, what you said, because this is a very important Hasidic concept. There's thought, speech, and action. Okay? As a rule, halachically, we're only punished for action.
Except
Aveda Zara. Speech, you're not punished for. If I say I'm going to kill you, I'm not going to get punished for it. Okay, unless even Lashon Hara, the Gemara says, you really can't get punished for it because you get a bunch of sins, but you can't get punished for speech because there's no action in it. Right? A lav, that the Gemara says, lav she'ein b'ma'asa. A lav, a negative command that has no action, you can't get punished for it. One second. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Hirhude Aveda, thought of sin, is worse than the sin itself. Which is interesting. You're not punished for evil thoughts, but it's a bigger blemish on the soul than speech or action. Why is this? So it's brought down the Chassidus like this. Al Rebbe says, a person is called Adam. Okay, Adam, man. Chumash says, because we came from the ground, Adama. The Shalach HaKadosh says it comes from with Adama Le'elyon, we're similar to God. The above, Domeh, similar to Hashem. In Chassidus, it also says another reason why we're called Adam. Because Adam represents thought, speech, and action. Dalid is Dibur, speech. Mem is Ma'aseh, action. And Aleph is thought. So it says, Adam, Aleph, Dalid, Mem, stands for thought, speech, and action. Machshava Dibur Amais. So it says, and we should be called Madame. Machshava Dibur Amais. We should be called French Madame, right? Because it's action, thought, Machshava Dibur Amais. Why is thought known as Aleph? So he says, because of the three, they're called garments of thought, speech, and action. The closest one to the soul, it's called Levush HaMiyuchad. The one that's bound to the soul more is thought. Why? Because you can stop talking, you could stop doing, but a person can never stop thinking. And even if you're not thinking, you're thinking that you're not thinking. 24/7, from the time we're born, for 120 years, you can never stop thinking. It's impossible to stop thinking. It says why? Because thought is so bound to the soul. The soul is always working. So is the thought. It's so bound, it's called one with the soul. If the soul is working, so is machshava, so is the thought. Therefore, if you're talking about blemishes on the soul, a blemish in thought is a greater, deeper blemish on the soul than speech or action. Except this world is an action world. It's not a speech world. It's not a thought world. It's an action world. So then we're not punished for it. But blemish-wise, the Gemara says, thoughts of sin are worse than the sin. Why are they worse than the sin? You didn't do the sin. I thought I'm going to kill you, but I didn't do it. What's the problem? The answer is, because the thought is bound to the soul to such an extent that it makes a bigger blemish on the soul than speech or action. And therefore you still need forgiveness. You still need cleansing.
Because it's not on our control. You told me you know, 24 hours.
You're thinking.
So bad, it's not our control. We talk.
Oh, that's not out of our control. That's the whole... He says, so how we can't control our thoughts.
Let
me tell you something. I mentioned this many times. Stop a guy in the street. They're just walking, you know. They're not texting or speaking on the phone. Years ago when people just walked...
They say crazy.
No. If they talked to themselves, they were crazy. Today everybody's talking to themselves. And you know what? They're still crazy. But... It's funny, somebody walking the street and you think the guy's talking to you. Anyway, the bottom line is that it says, and this Alter Rebbe speaks about a lot in Tanya, the Gemara says, if somebody willingly, don't worry about it, we're all the same boat, so don't get excited about it, you know, don't get depressed. The Gemara says, if somebody willingly thinks an evil thought, they're a Rasha. They're a Rasha. Now, it says, if just to explain this properly, in Tanya it explains, the fact that an evil thought falls into your head, that you're not punishable for. Because you have Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is feeding you with foreign thoughts. But the difference is what you do when the foreign thought comes into your mind. If you have control, which a Jew is supposed to have, then you get rid of the evil thought. How do you get rid of an evil thought? By thinking a good thought. You can't think two things at the same time. So as soon as the evil thought comes into your mind, you get rid of it by thinking a holy thought. Then you're not a Rasha. That's normal. But if you get this evil thought and you're invited in for tea and coffee, and that's when the Gemara says you're a Rasha. It's a very difficult thing. They tell there were Jews, stop a guy in the street. That's what that's not talking on the cell, and stop them and ask him, tell me everything you thought in the last 10 minutes. They would never be able to do it, unless they're concentrating on something. But normally, the thoughts are floating all over the place. There's no way somebody can tell you what they thought of them. There were Jews, that they say about them, that were able to give a reckoning of every thought, speech, and action they had since Bar Mitzvah. I don't know where the planet they came from. But, in other words, there is a concept of a Jew controlling the thought. So Beis Din can punish you, but you still need kapara. And therefore the person would bring the Ola. The Chatos was for the action of the sin, and the Ola was for the thought of the sin. So by normal sins, first you brought the Chatos for the action, and then the Ola for the thought. By Avodah Zarah, where you're punishable for thought, so over there Hashem says, no, I want you to bring the Ola first, and then the Chatos. What?
Going back to what you said, that speech is not punishable, and like with Lashon Hara, but if a person says Lashon Hara knowing it's going to have a cause and effect that's negative, like...
Are you punished for it?
By the courts. How can you not be held
punished
accountable?
By the courts.
You're held accountable, but not by the courts. The courts can't hold you responsible for something that's not an action.
Because you can sue you.
Slander is not punishable. There's no malchus for slander.
Information of character, but
if it's a monetary damage, you can. There's no suing in Torah. You can get damages for embarrassment or something like that, depending if it's direct damages, indirect. You know what I mean? Yeah, but there's no punishment. If I embarrass you publicly, okay, there's a din that you have to pay boshes. You have to pay shame. Okay? The Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch brings down, that in those days, if somebody insulted a scholar publicly, they had to pay litra de dava. It was in a big golden coin. There was a fine that they had to pay. Every person, Bezdin evaluates, you know, some people get, who are more prestigious, so for them embarrassment is worse than a person that just runs around embarrassing themselves the whole day. You know what I mean? So Bezdin, but over there, it's not a punishment for the sin. I damaged you by embarrassing you, I have to pay for it. But that's not, one second, that's not a punishment for the crime. It's retribution for the crime, not punishment for the crime.
So there's no such thing, though, as like accessory. For instance, if one person threatens another, I will murder your family unless you do this or do that, the person who's making the threat, because it's all verbal, cannot be held accountable?
Correct, unless if he acts on it.
For
punishment by the court. Now, does Hashem love you for doing it? Doubt it.
I'm speaking about like the, you know, among man, between man and man, as opposed to
man and woman, and man to man,
between man and God.
Okay.
What about this issue? You say that if you think about it and then do the action, except there's a lot of. There is really no punishment, whereas we know, like, for instance, if you do certain things, you thought about it, like premeditated or something.
There is, in Torah law, there's no concept of premeditated sin. There's accidental, intentional.
Or Jewish.
And therefore, you have to warn. No. By Goyim also needs warning. No. I'm not punished for the thought, unless if it's idol worshipping. The Gemara says, why do you need to be warned before you commit a crime? Okay? To be punished for a crime. A guy eats an ounce of chaza, you get lashes, right? Mm. But he has to be warned immediately prior to the act. So the Gemara says, why does he need to be warned? Because we want to know if he did it intentional or accidental. If he wasn't warned, he can always say, I did it accidental, what do you want from me? Right? If you warn him and he did it, then obviously he did it intentionally, which is the next paragraph here. What?
So Avodah Zarah, if a person thinks it in their mind, I mean, the action of Avodah Zarah is a sin, but thinking in your mind, how can no one can warn you and say,
No, I'm saying Hashem mind. Punishes you, and Hashem knows if it was accidental or intentional.
And then it goes back to the idea that you know, you can't control your thoughts. I mean, something comes
but a person, I'm saying, could control their thoughts.
It comes into the mind.
Remember we told the story of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov once overheard the way two people in his community got into a fight, and the guy said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. And it basically, two people in the city, simple Jews, got into a fight, and one guy said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. Okay? And the Baal Shem Tov was sitting at his table, and the students were sitting around like a ches, and, you know, Baal Shem used to show him visions, don't ask me how, but they used to hold hands, put their hands on their neighbor's shoulders, and then the Baal Shem would sing a niggun, and then he would put his hands on the two students next to him closing the circuit, and they saw an image. So the Baal Shem, when he heard the guy say, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish, he told him to put hands on the shoulders, and they did it, and they saw a vision of the guy ripping apart his friend, literally ripping him apart like a fish. And he all shrieked. Baal Shem Tov took off his hand, and the vision was over. And the Baal Shem Tov explained to them, there is a world of action, there's a world of speech, and there's a world of thought. Okay? If I think I'm going to kill you, you're still alive. Right? But in the world of thought, I killed you. If I say I'm going to kill you, God forbid, even though you're alive, you're running around, in the world of speech, I killed you. Now, because this is an action world, the court can't punish me because you're still here. Action matters. If I say I'm going to daven, I'm going to put on tefillin, I'm going to keep Shabbos, and I say, but I don't do it, it's worthless because this is an action world. It's not a world of thought or speech. So therefore, you're not rewarded for speech, and you're not punished for speech. You understand? So if there is a concept in the world, if I think I'm going to kill you, in the world of thought, I killed you.
Is that something like you said that a thought is always coming through?
But you can control it, because if you have good thoughts,
it will come through, no?
You mean if you think about it, it's going to eventually happen? Yeah, but it could happen in a much lesser way.
Yeah, but it's...
If it's embarrassing somebody publicly, it's like killing them.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of things the Gemara says. If you do this, it's like you killed them.
Mm.
Okay? So it could be you won't actually kill them, but it will come maybe to an act of embarrassing publicly, which is likened to killing somebody.
If somebody get ordered to kill somebody, you say that to this guy to kill somebody, you talk. Guy, the first guy doesn't have any sin?
He has a sin of helping somebody sin, but he's not... It's not like American law, by the way. In American law, if I hire you to kill somebody,
you're in charge.
I'm just as much trouble as you are.
In
Torah, it doesn't work like that.
How come Torah doesn't work like that?
There's no accessory to the crime. We learned in the Gemara, Ein shliach l'dvar aveira. There's no shliach. When it comes to sin, it's interesting. Shammai, not Beis Shammai. Shammai held there is shliach ledvar aveira, but the halacha is not like Shimi. Is a Shimi like Shammai? The halacha is like Hillel that there is no shliach. Friends, if I tell you kill somebody and you do it, or I tell you steal and you do it,
so
I can come to you and say, 1 minute, God told you not to steal. I told you to steal. Who are you supposed to listen to? That's the logic, and then the Gemara also learns it out in Kedushin from a pasuk.
So what happens to the person who commits an avera under pain of death or threat?
If a person's forced, it's a different story.
Is still really guilty of having done an avera?
Wait a minute. If somebody, besides the three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder, okay? If I say to you, I don't like using the word you. If I say to somebody, desecrate Shabbos or else I'll kill you, what does Torah say to do?
Desecrate
Shabbos and not get killed.
But what about with threatening a person that you'll kill the rest of their family or whatever?
That's also a threat to a certain extent. Except by the three sins of idolatry, adultery, and murder. So that's why it's explained why here by Avodah Zarah, the Torah first says, bring the Ola, and then the Chatos, because for Avodah Zarah, you're punished even for thinking. What?
What about like Averas in the Torah that says are equivalent to Avodah Zarah? Like it says like this is equivalent to Avodah.
Yeah, but it's still not Avodah Zarah. You don't have to give up your life for it.
Okay. But a person isn't punished for those by the course. And let's say breaking Shabbos. Like,
you know what they say? The television today is idolatry, adultery, and murder. Because that's all you see on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody says, watch television or I'll kill you, do you have to give up your life? I don't think so.
Is there something in today's world in Los Angeles that would be similar to Abu Dazara?
Yeah.
TV? Oh, really?
You want to hear? What people worship? Money, sports, clothing, I can go on for an hour. When you really
all of these.
No, here it's talking about real Avodah Zarah. But you have Avodah Zarah today, Buddhism, a lot of these Eastern religions are rooted in Avodah Zarah. Correct.
Buddhism is considered Avodah Zarah?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that at certain...
The Rambam holds, by the way, the halacha is not like the Rambam, but the Rambam holds Christianity for a Jew is also Avodah Zarah.
For a Jew.
Not for a non-Jew. No. The Rambam holds even for a non-Jew. But the halacha is not like the Rambam. And Shechon Aruch they paskin that for a Jew it's Avodah Zarah, but it's not Avodah Zarah for a Goy. And a Goy, in other words, according to Torah law, a Goy could be a Christian.
Are they supposed to believe in the same Hashem?
Yeah, but they're allowed to believe in Shittuv. I don't want to go into that now.
But wasn't it that at a certain point God took away the this whole desire of worshipping was sent away?
Yeah, but because over there the whole world was worshipping idols. Here you have in India the Hindus and the Buddhists. I mean, those people are really questionable of Avodah Zarah.
Well, Buddhists only believe in one. They don't even believe in God.
Actually. They believe in Buddha.
Buddha's the way it's believed to be. Like,
now, I'm not going to argue about Buddhism because I don't know enough about it. I just know it's Avodah Zarah.
He's like an emissary. To a place. They don't believe in a higher source of reality. Buddhists don't.
Anyway.
Buddha was a regular person.
Tomorrow night we have another class.
Okay. Pasuk Chavav. V'nisach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael. And therefore they will be given the entire assembly of the Yidden. V'lager agor b'seicham. And to the convert who lives amongst them. Ki l'chol ha'am b'shkagur. Because the whole community desecrated the sin accidentally. Now there's one more interesting point. We discussed this a long time ago. And there is a question which really somebody people ask, and it's a viable question in Yiddishkeit. If I was accidental, why do I need a sacrifice? Why do I need forgiveness if I sinned accidentally? Yeah. The Besdin told me it's good. Right? The court said it's good. Okay? Well, like, remember a few years ago, there was this butcher selling non-kosher meat to the whole city, to a good part of the city for a while. Listen, people, they didn't know. What do you want from them? It's not that they went and they bought non-kosher meat. You know, they were fooled. What do you want from the person? Why does a person need forgiveness for an accidental sin? This is a fundamental question, by the way.
I feel bad. Could be one of the reasons.
You feel bad at what?
At the end of the day, I would still feel bad that I find out, like, for instance, I did something that...
That's the truth of it. Yeah. But I'm saying, why does a person need to be forgiven?
Is it really accidental after it happens? Is it considered to have been something that would have happened anyway because you were, like... It's kind of the same concept of if this person hits that person... This person can't be mad at that person because...
Does the person that hit need forgiveness? Yes.
Ultimately,
he still needs forgiveness.
Right.
He still needs punishment.
They both still need to figure out...
Yeah, but over there, here we're talking accidental. So there's two things. Simply, the answer is, simply, like we gave this analogy many times, if somebody gives me a bottle to drink, and the bottle says health food, but all the stamps have health food, and inside happens to be poison, and I drink it. God forbid, is the person going to die or not? Yes. He didn't know it said on it, health food, glatt kosher health food. Vegan, glatt kosher health food. I mean, there's nothing. Bottom line is, you drink poison, you're going to die. Okay, you do a sin, it's still a blemish. You're not blamed, but the bottom line is, it's still poison in your system, spiritual poison in the system. But the answer really goes even more than this. The answer, Chassidus explains, is the fact that God allowed that this accidental sin came to you shows that you are lacking in that field of Judaism. In other words, a person who is really careful in kashrus, God would never allow, even accidentally, that person to eat not kosher. And there's a pasuk, Lo yo'une letzadik kol oven, God doesn't allow a tzadik to come to anisin. Okay, there's an argument if it's only by food or by other things, but bottom line is, the pasuk says, God doesn't allow a person to come, a tzadik, to come to an accidental sin. That means, if I accidentally ate something not kosher, that means, why did God make it happen? Granted, I didn't know, but still, why is the poison in my system? Because I'm not as careful in kashrus as I should be. Because if I was as careful, it wouldn't have happened. If I was as careful with Shabbos as I should be, Hashem would have never made an accidental desecration of Shabbos. If I would be so careful with brachas the way I should be, God would never make me say a brach in vain, accidentally. So therefore you need forgiveness.
So it's supposed to be happen.
Hashem wants it to happen. But the bottom line is, if it is...
It's a forgiveness or it's a cleansing?
Both. The cleansing gets is the forgiveness. You need tshuva.
I'm totally clean.
Listen, if a guy...
Let
me ask you a question. If a guy is very, very rich, okay? And he says, you know what? I'm going to sin a lot, so I'll bring a carbon, who cares, and a few $100. It's worth it. For him, it's worth it. I'll keep sinning and keep paying for it. It's worthless. Every carbon we learned needs vidui confession. You need to do tshuva. The carbon only works if you're doing tshuva. If you're not doing tshuva, the carbon's worthless. It's like people say, there's no such thing as a no parking zone. There is no such thing as no... There's expensive parking spaces and not so expensive parking spaces. You can park anywhere. You might have to pay a lot for it. It's a ticket. But there's no such thing as no parking space. But this is... A person needs to do tshuva. In this case, they also need to do tshuva. They still need to do vidui, the confession that you do when you bring a korban. Okay, this up to now was if the community sinned based on the teaching of a Beis Din and they did it accidentally. Now, what happens if an individual sinned accidentally, not the community? V'im nefesh achas techta b'shkoga pasuch of zayin. If one person will sin unintentionally, and again, he's speaking about Avodah Zarah, v'ikriva eiz bashnosa lechatas. He has to bring a goat, a she-goat, in fact, within bashnosa means it has to be less than a year old. It has to be within the first year. In other words, he didn't know that you're not, he thought that this is not idol worshipping, what he did, but...
What if he can't afford or doesn't have what?
People with glass windows don't throw stones. If you can't afford it, you don't sin. You know, in the olden times, people have to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, besides the expense of it. You know, it's to schlep a carbon.
We're talking about unintentional sins, sins that you do without realizing it. Or you did it by mistake and then realized it was a sin.
A Jew still has an obligation to learn.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but I know that...
Tell a cop, when you go through a red light... One minute. Tell a cop when you go through a red light that I never knew you're not allowed to go through a red light.
I didn't mean it.
I thought it was still green. I'm colorblind. Why doesn't it work? Because you got a license... Getting a license, you have to study the book, right? And in the book, it says you can't go through a red light.
So they don't make any accommodations if it's for a poor person?
Not in this carbon, by the way. No, not.
So I know in some of them.
Yeah, some of them we learned before, if a person's richer or poorer, in between. Yeah. But here, not, no. Avodah Zarah is such a severe crime. It's such a severe crime. There's no accommodations for poor. The chiper hakain al nefesh shegages b'chata b'shkaga lifnei Hashem, the kain shall atone for the person who sinned accidentally for his unintentional sins before Hashem. Lechaper olav to atone for him, v'nisach le'an will be forgiven. So in other words, obviously this is also again with tshuva, right? Because now tshuva is not going to work.
Why they say that
the
female animals? You know why they say that?
But no, this was a female animal.
So why is female?
Because in grammar, ben is masculine, bat is feminine.
Why did
certain sins?
They need to get the feminine.
Only God, the saint, Zayas basically. It's a Hashem said so. There's no reason for it. Certain sins Hashem said, b'nei shana, right? Ben shana or b'nei shana?
And
sometimes bat shana, yeah?
Now, is the younger one more expensive or the older one more expensive? When it says young goat, is it...
Usually the youngest cheaper.
Youngest cheaper?
Weight.
It's less.
Weight.
It's less weight.
Okay.
When you sell meat in the stores, by weight or by... No. So it depends. Unless if the older one went on a diet, then... Huh?
Is it younger, more tender? It's more tender. It's better meat.
It's more expensive than the younger one.
Depends how much younger.
Still cheaper.
What's more expensive, veal or meat?
Veal, the price is
harder to get, that's why. I don't know, whatever one's more expensive, I don't know, you call the butchers. Ezrach b'vnei Yisrael, the citizens of the Jewish people, v'ager agor b'tzeichom, or the converts that lives amongst the Jewish people, teira achas yelochem, this is the same law, la'eisi b'shgogah, for somebody who does it accidentally. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a convert or not a convert, bottom line, you sit with the Savei Dezara, this is the carbon that you have to break. Now, what happens though, if a person acted literally means high-handedly, meaning intentional, he knew exactly what he was doing, from the citizen or from the convert, as Hashem, he is scorning the word, he blasphemed Hashem, meaning mechadif, he was a very like chutzpidik against Hashem, and then the person goes, he gets chorus. From here, the Gemara learns out, by the way, a number of interesting things in this pasuk. Rashi says the Gemara learns out that if somebody, God forbid, curses God, because the Torah likens this as Hashem who megadev. Megadev is a cursing. So, and the Torah says v'nichrasa, you get chorus. Okay. Another thing the Gemara learns out from here. Oh, let's see the next pasuk. Ki dvar Hashem baza, he shamed the word of Hashem. Ves mitzvah say heifar, and the mitzvah he broke the commandment. He kares tikares anefesh shehi aveina ba. He gets kares. His sin is with him, meaning as long as he didn't do tshuva. And here's an interesting thing. The halacha is, when the heavenly courts kill you, tshuva helps. That's why it says, avei naba, as long as you're sinning, God is going to kill you. But if you did tshuva, then God won't kill you. And we learned in the past, by other mitzvahs, when the earthly court kills you, then tshuva doesn't help. When the heavenly court kills you, tshuva helps. We learned in the past, why is that? Since the famous tshuva, Neida B'Yehuda, the Rebbe brings down many times, but the Neida B'Yehuda writes the following. Bezdin, humans, can only go by what they see. And the Gemara uses the expression, Ein l'dayin, ela masha ein avroyis. A judge can only go by what he sees. That's it. You can't go by what you don't see. So therefore, when a person commits a crime, through the testimony of the witnesses, Bezdin saw the crime, right? Through the witnesses. So the crime they saw. Tshuva, that's in the heart. You could be a fabulous actor. You ever see the kids like crying? Fabulous actors. Yeah? And they, in their mind, they think, well, of course I'm going to keep doing it. Right? Bezdin doesn't see what's going on in your heart. So therefore, the act of sin they saw, and the tshuva they didn't see. So therefore they have no choice, they have to kill you. Hashem knows what's going on inside of us. So when it comes to Hashem punishing us, Hashem knows if we did tshuva or not. So therefore if Hashem knows we did tshuva for real, then He'll forgive us, then we don't get punished by the heavenly court.
No, but didn't we stone somebody in the midwife for blasphemy? And his mother was the wife of an Egyptian. We learned this a while ago.
Yes.
Well, I thought this would take a death penalty too.
But that's only if there's this punishment of Karis is speaking if there's no warning.
Oh, no warning.
If there's warning, the pasuk says he gets killed. Yeah, you got the later, before me. Yeah, if you're warned and you do it, you get killed. But otherwise, you get cursed if you're not warned. Same thing if somebody desecrates Shabbos publicly, intentionally desecrates Shabbos. If they were warned, they get stoned. If they weren't warned, they get cursed. Same thing with that.
But the warning has to be right before they do
that. Immediately prior to that, because people's mental mental memories go. If the one within a few seconds of the crime. Otherwise, it's not what?
When you talk about kari, is that like a physical death too?
So 1 second. Here, the Torah says, hikaris tikaris. So the Gemara says like this. Many times the Torah says, v'nichrasa, anefeshahi. One time karis. Karis is two things. Karis could be single or double. There's a single karis that you die from this world, but in the world to come, you're not cut off. Hikaris tikaris, the Gemara says, what's the double expression? Yeah. You're cut off in this world and in the world to come. For intentional idol worshipping. Then you're cut off in this world, meaning you die early, and you're cut off in the world to come. But the Gemara learns out another interesting thing from this pasuk. When it speaks about the word of Hashem, you shamed, and you scorned the word of it, broke his commandment, whatever. The Gemara learns out this pasuk refers to not learning Torah. The Gemara says, first page of Tanya. He quotes the Gemara, Kedva Hashem Baza, whoever doesn't study Torah is shaming the word of God and they get cut off. Huh? No, I mean, people have their particular... But again, if the person did tshuva, then this is only, like the Torah says, clearly, avei naba. Okay? It's only if he didn't do tshuva. Once he does tshuva, for this sin, he's finished.
Both, they finish.
Huh?
Both karet finish.
Karis di karis. The person who did it intentional. Cut off in this world and in the world to come.
If do tshuva.
If you didn't do tshuva.
If you're doing
tshuva. No, then you're not cut off. Neither one. There's a whole other inyan over here, I don't want to go into it now, but nowadays, this only applied during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that somebody would die young if they did a sin of Karis. Today, you find people that are eating Yom Kippur, eating Chametz and Pesach, and doing all these sins which are Karis, and they're living long life, happy, healthy, wealthy life. So Alter Rebbe explains the Tanya that only existed during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when people lived from holiness. Then if they cut the line, so the holiness couldn't give them life anymore. But now we don't live from holiness anyway. So if we're not living from holiness, we can keep living from evil as long as we go. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, underwater, huh?
Underwater anyway. Okay, let's start the next. This is a very interesting story. One of the more famous stories in the Chumash. The Jews were in the Midbar. And according to Rashi, it means that it happened the second Shabbos the Jews were in the desert. Other Mefarshim learn, another opinion of Medrash says, it was the second year of the Jews in the desert. A whole year after the Jews were in the desert. They found, Ish Mekesh Sheitzim B'yem HaShabbos. There was a man gathering wood on the Shabbos day. Okay? He wasn't chopping the wood, he was gathering wood. Now, what exactly did he do? Some people say he harvested. There's three opinions in the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos says three opinions what the sin of this guy could have possibly been. One is that he actually cut the wood, so he did harvesting on Shabbos. Another opinion was Ma'amid, he was bundling, which is gathering the wood together. And the third opinion says he was carrying. Okay. Now, whatever it was, he was warned. Rashi says otherwise. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. He was warned, and he kept doing it. Now, who is this guy? According to one opinion, this was Slavchad. You know the guy that had the five daughters, the holy five daughters? He was Slavchad, which simply was, he was a holy man. So the Medrash discusses, why in the world did he do it? So the Medrash says it's remarkable. It's very interesting. Like they say, don't do this at home. But the Medrash says like this. He saw the Jews were very lax when it came to the observance of Shabbos. Oh. And he wanted to show the Jewish people that God meant business. He risked his life. Don't ask me, are you allowed to or you're not allowed to? It's a whole different story. He risked his life to show the Jewish nation that God meant business. And therefore, even when they warned him, he continued doing it. What?
He committed suicide.
He didn't commit suicide. Bestin killed him. He didn't say, kill me. The truth is, there's a whole different story over here. According to Halacha, he shouldn't have got stoned. He did what's called Halacha Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa. It's too late. But he did a work on Shabbos that wasn't for the normal purpose of doing the work. He did it to prove a point. You cut wood not to prove a point. You carry not to prove a point. His purpose of the stewing was to prove a point, not for the actual malach. He shouldn't have gotten killed. What?
Is that why his daughter said he didn't die for his own sins?
That he did die for his own sins.
He did die for
his own sins. He wasn't part of Korach. V'hu lo hayad badas Korach. It says he wasn't part of Korach. He wasn't part of all those people. And at the end of Pinchas, here, they say, V'hu lo hayad b'secho eidon eidom Hashem badas Korach. Ki bechate mes, he died of his own sin, and Rashi said, Rabbi Kiva says he was the Mekosha Sheitzin that we're learning about now, and Rabbi Shimon says he was from the guys that after by the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't go, and they said, we're going to go, and he went anyway. Also for the same reason, to prove a point, because he was a very holy man, Salafchad. The Shaila is, if he asked the question, are you allowed to do it? The answer is no. What?
Why is he called Ish?
Why the Torah doesn't say what his name was?
Right,
call
him Ish.
Because it doesn't say a reason why he wasn't. I don't know.
We learned Ish names in Malachim.
Yeah. But it says about Moshe Rabbeinu Ish. One of the reasons, I believe, if I remember correctly, the commentaries say Hashem didn't want to say his name because he had a noble purpose for doing it. Hashem didn't want to speak negatively about him. So he called him the man. Because it's Kavan, because we'll soon see Hashem said kill him. Right? And if Hashem said kill him, he... Now again, is a Jew allowed to do that? No. No. But he did it.
How can we say he was a tzaddik if he committed such a crime?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, here he doesn't go in. But the Mefarshim say over here, he wasn't a Rasha. He was actually Adam Kosher Hayu, Slavcha ben Chever. He is Kavanu with the Shem Shemayim. Okay? The only problem with this, then why should he get stoned? The commentators asked him, Asher asked him, why should he get stoned? So he answers, the Asher and the Gemara asked the question, so then he shouldn't have gotten killed because if it's Einu Tzricha L'Guf, if you're not doing it for the normal purpose of doing it, you shouldn't get killed. But again, Beis Din didn't know that. Beis Din only saw him do it.
Yeah, but he asked Hashem.
Huh?
He asked Hashem.
Who asked Hashem? No, they asked Hashem what the punishment is. No, it says we'll soon see. Well, not soon. They knew he was going to get, he was supposed to get killed. They didn't know what punishment. Stoning, choking, burning. They didn't know.
Couldn't Hashem have told Moshe about, you know, his intentions?
Hashem wanted to prove a point too. That you desecrate Shabbos. And by the way, he did instill a fear and awe in the Jewish people that Hashem document business. You know, there's a very interesting din in Shulchan Aruch. It's from the Gemara, but it's brought on Shulchan Aruch. That if there's an epidemic of something, Beis Din has a right to say, let's say, for instance, there's an epidemic of stealing. Okay? For stealing, you don't get capital punishment. You don't. Okay? There's an epidemic of stealing, and Beis Din is trying to stop it. Beis Din is halachically allowed to say, the next guy that steals will get killed, and they can kill him. For stealing, you don't get killed. But when there's an epidemic and Beis Din needs to stop it, Torah gives Beis Din the right. Most of you guys weren't born yet, but do you remember in the riots in the 60s, there were riots in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. I know many of you guys were around. Huh? I was around.
King. Was it about the King?
No, not Rodney King. This was before Rodney King was...
The riots?
No!
The Democratic Convention.
The Democratic 62. Convention in
72.
No, it was in the 60s. 68. It was Yeshiva Bacher then. Anyway, so then the mayor of New York was Mayor Lindsay. And the Schwarzes were rioting all over the place. He said, let them go, let them be. It went on for a few weeks. My mayor, Chicago Mayor Daley, you know Mayor Daley, the Irish guy? He said, when the riot started, Daley told the cops, shoot to kill. It stopped in an hour. He said, shoot to kill. Next guy you see stealing, just shoot him. It stopped. Now, is that the law? For stealing, do you kill somebody? No, but the courts have that authority to be able to do it. Okay,